the Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. Who were you yesterday?
My only competitor, right?
Exactly.
According to the quote.
Right.
There were just two things that I wanted to talk about before we talk about the things that we were going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I want to know is about this whole Twitter anti-Semitism thing. I mean, I don't know if you guys have been speaking about it at all.
Yes, certainly.
But it's obviously everywhere. And I just wondered what people feel about anti-Semitism on Twitter, on social media in general. You're quite a great user of Twitter. I mean, are we concerned about this? Is this something that we need to stand up and talk about?
So for me, it's a very big concern, and it inherently sits very uncomfortably with me. I'm missing the gene that allows me to shut up when I should. So I don't have that. Exactly. My mother never had it. My father's one is recessive. So I don't come from a family that is very able, is well equipped to keep quiet. Now I'm being told to keep quiet as against anti-Semitism. It's very difficult for me. It does sit uncomfortably, but I decided to do it, just as support and to stand in solidarity. And it's interesting because now that I look at my Twitter timeline and I believe and that's the other part. I say to Zanati and to our listeners earlier, as an observant Jew, it's very confusing because is it 9 a.m. SA time? Is it UK time? Do we get the extra 18 minutes to quickly finish off a tweet? Are we allowed to look at other people's tweets but not tweet ourselves? They haven't given us enough information. Is there something we do to start? How does it end? What time does it end? It's a UK thing. It's 2 days. Does that mean we need to keep 3 days outside of the UK? None of these things. And what do we eat when it's all over? These things are very, very, these things torment me, Zanati. It's very confusing.
Very confusing, but I think it's a big issue for us to think about, and I'm really not sure what to make of it. But obviously it's not only purely Twitter, but, the question about social media in general is, is it really freedom of speech? Everybody has the right to say whatever they like and think, even if it might be offensive to us. Or does it need to be policed in a very, very specific way? And how strictly should it be policed? In other words, where do we draw lines? It's actually a very difficult thing for me
very
to think about.
Difficult.
And, it's just something that's out there. The other thing that I just wanted to throw in, which is completely unrelated, is this ridiculous story about Iran's fake U.S. aircraft carrier. It's a story that I really love. Apparently, Iran has this wooden ship. I mean, we call it a ship, but it's really a piece of floating wood, I think. I don't think it even is a ship. And apparently, it's shaped and styled like a U.S. aircraft carrier. It's like a mock-up of an aircraft carrier. And satellites have been tracking it being moved around. I don't think it moves on its own steam. And I think it's been used generally for exercises that the Iranian Navy has been engaged in to try and practice their ability to engage a U.S. aircraft carrier. Sounds like a bit of a joke, right? Because the Iranian Navy, in comparatively speaking, is a bit of a joke. But this has become a big thing now, that this giant fake aircraft carrier has been moved around and is now in the Straits of Hormuz. And I don't know, I think we're supposed to read some conspiracy into this, but it's become quite a story.
Crazy. It's just bizarre. It's bizarre.
It is really crazy. Because, I think part of how bizarre it is not only that they have it, but the fact that our satellites are watching it and we can see everything that's going on. I mean, if you really thought that, there's nowhere to hide and that Big Brother is watching you in the kind of micro sense where, Facebook can hear what you're saying and there's cameras up wherever you moved around. But even in the depths of the ocean, satellites are watching every single movement that's going on and can sense every single change that's happening no matter where you are. Very, very, very scary to think about that.
We did speak about it yesterday in our Military Monday because Russia has just launched a satellite that is capable of deploying weapons, which is a very, very big shift away from everything that's gone. So this is definitely going to be the it's going to be the way of the war of the future. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely. So those were the things that I didn't really want to talk about. Now we can get into the main stuff.
All right. So tell us what happened yesterday, because even though I wasn't on Twitter, I happened to notice on Twitter that there was a lot of activity and announcements about activity in the north.
Yes, so there was certainly some incident that happened on the northern border yesterday, according to the official notifications that I've seen from the IDF, from the Home Front Command particularly. They spoke about a security incident in the area of Hardov, Mount Dov, in the Golan Heights area on the border with Lebanon. And the Israeli media is reporting that a Hezbollah cell tried to infiltrate into Israeli territory, and in fact even succeeded to some degree, where they actually did infiltrate several meters, we're told, into Israel before they were engaged by IDF soldiers, and that the IDF responded immediately, at which time this cell that was trying to infiltrate into Israel apparently then withdrew and ran back into Lebanese territory. Now, I do know that residents in the north were told to go to their bomb shelters at some point, at least in certain areas of the north. And there were reports of some explosions being heard by some residents who are in the north, some holidaymakers who are in the north. The IDF is not necessarily confirming that officially. They denied that there were any anti-tank guided missiles that were fired during this incident. But there do seem to have been some explosives going on, if we rely upon eyewitness accounts of people who actually were up there and listening to some of the events that were happening. Interestingly, Hezbollah has come out saying, it wasn't us. We weren't involved. We weren't there. We don't know anything about this. Nothing happened. I don't know what you guys are talking about. So we've got some very, very strange denials going on. The question really is whether this is going to be enough for Hezbollah to say, you know what, we've retaliated against that attack last week. We've made our point. We've done what we need to do. It's over for now. Or whether they're going to say, we would have wanted to do more. We wanted to make a greater point. And therefore, we are going to still continue to try and execute some sort of a plan over the coming days. Now, the IDF are definitely still on high alert. They're still expecting some further activity in the north, some further attempts, either at infiltration or attacks against IDF soldiers, or potentially even against civilians in the north. What's interesting at the moment in Israel is because people aren't able to travel abroad, that there is a lot of internal tourism where children have gone on school holidays and parents are taking holiday time, that people are traveling within Israel, and there are a certain number of tourists who have decided to go to the north of Israel. So it's not only about the residents who are living there, but it's also about people who are touring around tourist sites and just generally around the north. But certainly something definitely happened yesterday. There's just really, really strange denials between the different parties about exactly what went on. Prime Minister Netanyahu did issue an official warning saying that Hezbollah is playing with fire and that Lebanon will be held responsible for anything that might happen on the northern border. So there is certainly something going on there. And the question is whether that will be that for now, or whether we're still going to see a certain escalation over the coming days.
Mm. A standoff over the budget between Prime Minister Netanyahu and Defense Minister Benny Gantz is threatening the stability of the government. Gosh, we never saw this one coming.
Yeah, I know. And we did talk about, you know, are there elections or not elections? I think the underlying current here is that, at least, you know, some of the conspiracy theories and maybe even theories that have some foundation to them is that, you know, the Prime Minister will do almost anything he possibly can to prevent Benny Gantz from taking over as Prime Minister, as has been envisaged according to the coalition agreement towards the end of next year. And so he potentially is trying already now to lay some of those seeds, to lay the groundwork for a reason why the rotation of prime ministers cannot take place when the date comes along towards the end of next year. And the budget issue is certainly something which could prevent that rotation and potentially send us to elections. And what is the issue? The issue is that apparently the coalition agreement says that the government will pass a 2-year budget, not a 1-year budget, but a 2-year budget. Now, I know it's quite common, it's usual for countries to present budgets 1 year at a time. The problem is that we don't have a budget for 2020, and we are already in July. So it's all fine and well to pass a 1-year budget to cover 2020. By the time it's produced and by the time it gets authorized and by the time it's finally approved by the Knesset and the powers that be, we will be towards the end of 2020. And the question is, to what extent will that budget really have any influence over what's going on in the year to which it pertains? And hence the idea of a 2-year budget, which apparently, as I say, was agreed in the coalition agreement and which Benny Gantz is very much pushing for right now, saying a 2-year budget was agreed and what we need is some sort of a financial plan which will take us through not only 2020, but also take us to the end of 2021 so that we can have some sort of budget forecast, so that we can have some sort of a plan that we'll work to over the next 18 months or so, that will try to put some our arms around this economic reality in which we find ourselves, which is a very, very tough economic reality right now. And apparently Benny Gantz is getting a lot of support from within the Treasury, within the Ministry of Finance. They're saying that that's the logical and professional way to go about things. Prime Minister Netanyahu doesn't agree. He thinks that a 1-year budget is required. And so the question is, you know, does he have any professional, grounds, reason, a proper thought out plan as to why a 1-year budget would be better? I'm not sure, because he hasn't really presented it to the public as yet. But he's nevertheless pushing that a 1-year budget should be the thing. And if the two cannot agree, the two factions, blue and white, Benny Gantz's blue and white and the Likud faction, it could potentially send us to an election, because of course, budget is a big issue in the Knesset. It's a vote of confidence or no confidence in the government, as the case may be. And if a budget cannot be passed, then we are effectively at an impasse and there is no way to move forward other than via an election. So it's not clear at this stage whether this is a tactic that's being used by Prime Minister Netanyahu to try somehow to instigate another round of elections. But I certainly hope somehow that we will get a budget approved, whatever form it takes, so that we can really move on to the next thing.
Absolutely. So South Africans have known for some time that we can transform pineapple into alcohol. Israelis are using watermelon waste to produce ethanol. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so this is a really new thing that's come out very recently. In Israel, we do produce a lot of watermelons. And what's interesting is that a lot of the watermelons that we produce are produced only for the pips. What they do is there's a certain process that they put the watermelons through, which effectively allows the pips to develop more quickly and bigger than what would be usually be the case. If we're eating the fruit for the fruit, then we don't want to have pips, and we've got all these different varieties of fruit which have no pips at all. But in the case of Israeli watermelons, a lot of people are producing them specifically so that they can have the pips, so-called garinim. People like to eat watermelon pips, and effectively the rest of the watermelon goes to waste. It's pulped and it just goes to waste. And so now there is the latest development, which is that they're looking for ways to take this watermelon pulp and turn it into ethanol. And apparently there is now a way of doing that. And there's a group of Israelis who are pursuing this. I mean, ethanol is not really a big thing in Israel at all. So the use of ethanol in Israel is not very, very clear indeed. Apparently this is now a new style of recycling watermelons in a way that will ultimately become useful. And there has been quite a lot written about watermelon juice as being a good source of ethanol fuel. So this is not a new concept. But in Israel now, because we have these watermelons where people are just taking the pips out and they're not using the rest of the watermelon, even though watermelon, of course, is a very, very popular fruit for those watermelons that are cultivated to be eaten rather than to be depitted. But apparently now we are moving towards ethanol from watermelon juice. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought indeed? Karen says, what is ethanol used for?
Well, ethanol is a fuel that, that can be used for a number of different things, but it's a kind of an alcohol-based fuel, I mean, it does have a number of different uses. I'm not exactly sure of the best way to use it is right now, but it's certainly a fuel that has been used for the longest period of time, not necessarily to drive cars, although I have heard of cars that have been ethanol powered, but it's certainly a source of a fuel and can be used for various uses, engines and things like that. Absolutely.
Anthony Reich, this is Where We Love and Leave You. It's about to go 8 o'clock. Thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at our usual